Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris, and with me as always is my co-host. His name is RJ Sines.
Sometimes I can't sleep at night.
For real?
Yeah.
Well, we're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and whether or not La La Land should be considered a comedy.
Yeah, I guess I could see it because...
I'm so sorry. I was given the wrong title card. Whether or not Moonlight could be considered a comedy.
Oh.
I'm so sorry about that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Moonlight definitely couldn't be a comedy. There's no way.
Well, they said it at the Oscars. It's not a joke. This is not a joke.
That's not
Moonlight
a joke.
Moonlight won.
Oh my gosh. La La Land, La La Landed themselves. They saw for a second what could have been, and then it was just taken away from us.
Oh, no. Spoiler alert. That's so good.
Well, you know what? It's not really a spoiler alert.
You have to get it to get the context.
That's true.
But unless you're making assumptions, then you've spoiled the
alerts. How'd you do on Oscar night? How'd your predictions map out?
Zero for zero. I didn't.
Zero for zero. Not
make
bad.
Any.
Didn't get anything
wrong. 100%.
100%. I got 13 for 26. So
for
real? I feel pretty good about that. So
you heading to Vegas, baby?
No, I would have broke even on any bets that I made.
Well, have a good time.
If I bet on all the categories. But I wouldn't have bet on like costume design. But I did get costume design right.
Wow.
Suicide
Squad.
So
maybe you should.
Suicide
Squad?
Yeah. Suicide Squad has as many Oscars as 3-6 Mafia. And there was one more that I saw that was like one person. I don't know.
Is this RJ's wacky facts?
No. It's just like little side trigs.
That's good. I think it's a bit. We'll make it a bit.
Yeah. Let's just talk about the Oscars the rest of the time.
No way. Today we're talking about Shaun of the Dead. This is the British thriller comedy that packs a real punch. Before we get into the goodness of that, RJ is going to take us through what's happening in the wonderful wide world of comedy sports.
No, not today, Ben. Unfortunately, there's no sports news to cover, but just regular comedy news.
Ah.
I've got some good stuff for you.
Well, bring it on.
So Netflix right now, you can check out Trevor Noah's new stand-up special, Afraid of the Dark.
Ooh.
I just checked it out. Very funny. In case you're wondering, like, who's Trevor Noah? I've never heard of him. You definitely have. He took over for Jon Stewart. He's the host of The Daily Show.
Is that like a double entendre?
What? The Daily Show?
No.
What?
Afraid of the Dark.
He is African. South African. I can't do a South African. South African.
Not even people in South Africa.
South African.
Can do a South African.
South Africans. I can't do it.
Only Leonardo DiCaprio can
so
do it.
So he's got a subtle South African accent. I can't. I'm just not even going to try anymore. But what he does do is interesting. In his stand-up special, he showcases so many impressions.
Really?
Like, and he doesn't do that many.
What?
Like, he does a couple impressions on the Daily Show. And I've never thought of him as an impressionist. But, I mean, he does every country, so many different celebrities. And he like, makes a thing out of it. Like, multiple minutes at a time. He does this whole bit where Nelson Mandela teaches Barack Obama how to talk like a leader. And it's way too long, but it's really funny.
Yeah.
Anyways, go check it
out.
That's
excellent because, I mean, for my experience, him on The Daily Show, it's just been mostly political, like a lot of race charged, you know.
Yeah.
But good comedy. Like, he makes excellent jokes.
Yeah.
But that's what he mainly focuses on. I love that he's doing.
Yeah, it's not nearly as political. There are some, like, it's more, like, overall political.
Sure, sure.
Like, why is Great Britain get to call themselves Great Britain? Like,
right.
What about India? Do they get to call themselves Great India just because
so
they want
good.
To? Kind of stuff like that. But, yeah, really funny. I would
love
recommend
it. Impressions. That's so good.
Also, coming up, there's going to be two new stand-up specials for Louis C.K. on Netflix.
Two?
So, two.
New?
Two new for you.
What?
Who would have I couldn't find a word. But anyway, so that's coming up.
Louis.
And speaking of Netflix, some very interesting news for Netflix, which could mean something for the world of comedy. A few days ago, it was reported that Netflix is going to back Martin Scorsese's $100 million film, The Irishman, with like Pacino, De Niro, and maybe Joe Pesci. But the only reason Netflix gets this opportunity is because Paramount, big production studio, bailed. They bailed on his script. They said they don't want to do it.
What?
So we know Netflix has been bringing like the most original content. And we know, I mean, every week we're talking about how many stand-up specials are coming out. This one, this person gets a stand-up special. You get a special. You get a special.
Yeah, yeah.
They just hired Jerry Seinfeld. He's going to be doing work with different comedians.
Chris Rock had a couple.
Future projects. Yeah. So Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, everyone's getting specials this year. So they keep coming out through Netflix. All this original content. Is Netflix the new home for comedy, Ben? Is this where we're going to see real original content? Comedy, brand new 21st century comedy.
If you want, you can listen to Why Am I Laughing on Netflix. How awesome would that be?
Why would anyone watch an audio podcast on Netflix? Seems like a waste.
We just put a sound bar that's like, rawr, rawr,
you know what it's I mean? Just two pictures of us, but like poorly drawn, like caricatures that you get at a fair. It's just up on the screen.
And whoever talks, their picture kind of shakes.
No, just yours does. Mine stays the same because I don't move when I talk at all. It's just me standing still. No.
RJ's mostly a ventriloquist. He's the puppet.
Yeah, I'm the puppet. And there's like some weird, like, older woman. I don't want to.
Standing behind
this
you.
This analogy is going weird.
I think so. I mean, definitely, like, the home delivery system of being able to get stand-up specials, comedy specials at home, like, that's something that just, like, besides DVDs, didn't really happen. And you don't go buy like a DVD unless you're into comedy.
Yeah. So it's real. I mean, obviously the stand-up specials are working because they keep bringing out more. But this to me shows that there's going to be some comedy movies. If they're going to back a $100 million Scorsese film, what are they going to do? I mean, we're talking about Shaun of the Dead, Edgar Wright, amazing comedy director. Are they going to back his next project? Like they did, what's the one with James Franco and Seth Rogen? And they go to North Korea. The interview. They did the interview. That was exclusively on Netflix, right? I mean, that was a bit of a controversy about how it ended up on Netflix. But ultimately,
Sony did it, and then it wasn't released in theaters, and it was just
right. But my point is, like, this, you know, comedians and comedies have come here in the past. Like, there could be some big budget.
We're going to get
original
content. More Adam Sandler until
the Zootopia of comedy. Not Adam Sandler. Like, we could get the Zootopia of comedy.
What is the Zootopia of comedy?
I don't know.
Zootopia is a comedy.
Is it?
Yeah, I laughed.
Is it more of a drama or more of a comedy?
I laughed at Jason Bateman.
Did you laugh when the rabbit was pushed to the ground and scratched in the face?
Absolutely. Because I find offensive things funny. Listen to our last episode.
You're racist.
No. Not again.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I've never been accused of being a racist.
That wasn't
a funny joke. I think, that makes total sense.
Yep, it does. And they
Netflix
just keep
the home.
Because I don't remember, we talked about how they were getting like $800 million added to their debt just so they could pump out more content. And I mean, we reported on that in October. Yeah. And since then, it's just been more and more great stuff, I think. So many great original series, even outside of comedy.
Excellent.
That about does it for this week, but you know what? Next week, there's always Bunny in the Banana Stand.
Is that a saying?
Yeah.
It is today.
No, it's Arrested Development.
Oh.
Like, how did you not get that?
You said money.
What do you think I said?
Bunny.
Well, yeah, Zootopia. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, there's always Bunny in the Banana Stand? I don't get it.
It's a Zootopia joke. Are you not paying attention?
It's a crossover between Arrested-topia.
Zoovelopment.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, well, that means that this news has slowly sauntered off into something else.
Bye, news.
That means we're going to jump into our topic, and that is Shaun of the Dead. Let me give you an introduction into this movie.
Ooh.
I thought you were signaling me. Sorry.
No, I am. I'm waving hi.
Okay, let me just do a podcast real quick, and then we can talk. while working together on the British sitcom Spaced, writer Simon Pegg and director Edgar Wright decided to create their own zombie movie in the vein of their mutual appreciation for George A. Romero's Living Dead trilogy. This would be the first film in their own trilogy known as the Three Flavors Coronado trilogy, with Hot Fuzz and World's End succeeding Shaun of the Dead.
Wow.
There's some good, good stuff.
What's a cornetto?
It's when a peninsula becomes, like, landlocked.
Essentially. It's also, I think, ice cream. You know how they have those ice creams in all their movies? That's literally what it is.
Really?
Yeah. A little wacky.
Yeah.
Pre-wacky fact.
Whoa. Pre.
I'm two for two on the pre-wacks.
I know. That's talent.
Yeah.
But I love this trilogy of movies, as we'll get into more, but I just we'll definitely cover Hot Fuzz and World's End if we get enough people who are like, dude, World's End.
Yeah.
Cause it gets the blue robots, which is funny to me.
I don't know. I would want a lot more emails for World's End. It was for me. But Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead are classics.
Pretty crème of the crop of the crème de la cream.
But as a whole, they're all very enjoyable.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Especially from it is mainstream in the sense it's like it's the most popular British comedian actors kind of like on screen, but it isn't like American mainstream.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, fine. And
it's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it's totally a breath of fresh air just because I feel like we see the same kind of stuff over and over again. Just like dialogues, like, you know, there's one like maybe physical comedy joke, but the way they set up these scenes, the way Edgar Wright makes these movies, it just, everything blends together. Everything is funny. Everything's just so good.
Which begs the question, why is it funny? And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we come to this studio, we put on our recording hats, and we push record. And we make jokes about stuff.
About spider tears.
We're here to answer that question, and this is what we came up with. Shaun of the Dead is funny because it originally and authentically spoofs the zombie apocalypse genre. It maintains a perfect balance between reality and fiction, especially with lead characters as boring and as unimportant as Shaun and Ed, while navigating a zombie infection in their own town. Through the unique style and direction of Edgar Wright and the dry British delivery of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, this film is a true comedy for geeks and film nerds alike.
Amen.
I mean, it, like, we're going to get into it, but it dials the style up to 11. And for me, that's what makes a movie compelling.
And it's one of those things where you don't really realize that you're being fed garbage until somebody hands you like an In-N-Out cheeseburger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. I was so confused. I was like, wait, are you just calling this movie garbage?
No. Like watching these movies, like I don't know if they're in like my top 10 of all time comedies.
Yeah.
But watching these movies, I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, not every one of these jokes is absolutely hilarious. But the way the movie works, the way it's made, makes me realize that, like, some of these other comedies that I think are way funnier are so lazy in how they're put together.
For sure.
In the dialogue that's probably just improvised or whatever. So I look at this, and it's so refreshing to be like, there's creativity in comedy. It's not just in words and, like, catchy one-liners,
yeah.
You know? I mean, honest to God, I think Anchorman is something, I mean, when you think of most famous 21st century comedies, Anchorman is something that like thrives on famous one-liners. Quotable t-shirts you can sell at Hot Topic or whatever. Is Hot Topic even around anymore? I feel like I make a joke about that every now and again.
The writer's room for Anchorman is like, what the hell is quotable that we can sell at Hot Topic?
Quick, somebody give me a t-shirt that says Great Odin's Raven.
Oh my gosh, I just love it. Yeah, that's the goal. It's a t-shirt, not topic.
Yeah.
But you're right. So the thing I think that separates Edgar Wright and this style and this trilogy from the kind of just, Linorama, you know, joke telling of American style movies is that not a moment is wasted in this film.
So true.
Like, really nail, this movie really nails timing.
Yeah.
Like, even like a transition to another scene is used, you know, with artfully, like, it's so smart.
There's no filler. Right.
Right.
And I think that's something that anyone can appreciate about good comedy, especially in stand-up. Every pause, every delay is used with importance. It's. I mean, make no mistake, especially in the world of film, everything is intentional.
Yeah.
If you have a favorite movie and you're like, oh, I think they made a mistake there, I guarantee you it wasn't a mistake. Like,
right.
Either, I mean, they have to go through all the footage, mm-hmm. and they said, oh, wait, we can't cut this out. It has to be in the movie. Sure. Or they left it in there being like, no, this is actually, we want to have it, like, show this part or whatever.
Or even, like, those moments where you go, oh, shoot, I should make some popcorn, and you go, oh, I'm going to get up now. It's because the movie has, like, you know, through the writing, the story, like something, a transition is going to happen and they take too long with it. So your brain goes, okay, this is a moment I can walk away from it.
Or
and
just, I want to check my phone.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
If you have to check your, like, I mean, it's an epidemic. If you go to a movie theater and someone opens their phone, like, two things are coming to my mind. One, it's way too bright. I feel like a lightsaber is going through my head. Number two, how bored are you? You paid $10 and then another $25 for snacks, and you're going to check your friggin' Instagram like you're Ryan Gosling or someone else important. I don't know. It's like, what? Now, granted, I have had family emergencies. I get texts like, hey, we need you to, you know, walk out of the theater, take a phone call. And sometimes it's you, Ben. You text me like, hey, have you seen this movie yet? I'm like, quiet. I'm in the movie right now. Time and place.
This has been triggered with RJ Sines.
I am triggered about this. Oh, boy. Yee-bly.
Okay, so let's get into it real quick. What is the plot of this movie? RJ, take us through it.
It's so easy.
Step by step.
And this is the best part, because it's the simplest of plots. You got two guys, Sean of the Dead, and his roommate, Ed. Of the Dead also. They live together. Title. They live together. Fact. One's lazy, one's bored with his job, and slowly but surely this zombie epidemic like happens like in their town. And they're kind of like, what? They figure it out. And then all of a sudden they realize, like, oh my gosh, like, this is happening. Like, we got to get safe. And he's like, you know, Sean's like, I got to get my girlfriend and my mom and my stepdad, and we got to save them. And where's the safest place we should go? And it's the Winchester, the favorite bar.
Yeah.
It's also kind of a dump.
Right.
It's like the town, like, pub, like, typical.
Yeah.
So then the whole point is we got to get there and we'll be safe from the zombies and we can just drink till the end of time until someone comes rescues us.
Yes.
And it's a foolproof plan. Obviously, they got a few hiccups along the way, a few good laughs. It's a good romp. But it basically, this plot goes 0 to 60 pretty slow. Like, it starts off showing how boring and slow, like, these people's lives are. And then by the time the main characters realize that this is going on, that this zombie breakout is happening, boom, it just starts going downhill.
Yeah.
Just flying. And I mean, that mix it with the action and the blood and like the jump thrills.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is a different movie now. There's so much energy and excitement. And they got Queen playing in the background. And like, it's just so much fun. And you're laughing and you're like, you know, just enjoying it all the while.
That's a foreshadow to my favorite line of the whole movie. Are we at that point where we can talk about the end?
I don't care.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, anyone who has never seen this movie before, you probably wouldn't even care about why we're talking about this.
No. But let me sum up as well. I like that, you know, at the beginning of the movie, you realize that Simon Pegg's character is this unmotivated, unwilling to change guy. And then, you know, through this zombie epidemic that comes out, which he's so like in routine that he doesn't even catch on to all these signs where you, the viewer, are seeing all this, and you're going, well, how is he not seeing this? Like, he's walking through the streets of zombies and he's not seeing it, which is genius. But then his plan to prove to his girlfriend, who earlier she dumped him, is to go back to the bar that is like ruined their relationship. Like, he's so thick that that's his plan. And I love it. They show like him envisioning it, and every single time it ends with him giving a wink to the camera and chugging a beer. It's like, ugh, he's so unwilling to change.
He's a turd.
That's why this movie is so perfect, is because our main character is forced to change by not getting what he wants.
Interesting.
But so the last scene, when they are beating up the pub owner to the beat of Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
Yeah.
He's like bashing the guy on the head with pool cues.
Yeah.
And they're all like doing it
very
to the beat.
Ineffective.
And then he looks over to the other guy, the guy who's like kind of a coward. He keeps going, I'm a pacifist. He's like telling him to mute the jukebox, but that's not what
David,
he says.
Right? David, the wet sandwich friend.
Yeah. That's not what he says. He doesn't say turn off the jukebox, which would be smart. He says the funny joke, which is kill the queen. And the guy goes, what? And he goes, the music. Because it's Queen, Mike. Oh, so good. Oh, I died in that moment.
That's such a...
David, kill the queen. He's like, what?
Not a single waste. Not wasting the music. Oh, not wasting the line. Good. Not wasting the quick joke.
Yeah, and it's beat. Like, it's beat for beat. Like, it flows in that scene.
Yeah.
But so, that's the plot. That's what our character goes through. But let's talk about these characters. You have Sean, right? Mm-hmm. We've kind of said a little bit about him. Unmotivated. Unwilling to change. Like, I think he thinks he's changing, but you can tell, like, he's 29 at the same job as 17-year-olds.
Right.
But he doesn't even realize that. Like, he's the 17-year-old's making fun of him, and he's like, how old do you think I am? He's like, 23? 17.
17.
You got red on you. So good.
And he just kind of gets pushed around. Yeah. Which is interesting that they, like, use that, like, early on. Mm-hmm. Sure, he gets pushed around. Nothing's really going his way. You know, his stepdad, like, bullies him about how he should treat his mom. Mm-hmm. And eventually it all comes to a close when now he's the one with the bandana around his head.
Right.
You know, taking names and just mm-hmm. beating the hell out of all these zombies.
With a cricket bat.
Yeah, with a cricket bat. Oh, God.
So iconic. I love
so
it.
So iconic.
Yeah,
sorry, I think even more, they do such a good job giving him something to, like, work for
mm-hmm.
Early on by getting, you know, he ends up kind of sort of basically breaking up with his girlfriend Liz right before the zombie breakout happens.
Yeah, she breaks up with him.
Yeah, and so in doing that, now there's this, like, oh, wait, like, I don't want her to die, but, like, I gotta go save her, and, mm-hmm. like, I want to be safe, and, like, but if they didn't have that, then maybe he wouldn't just care. He would just, like, die
right.
alone in his home or something. But, no, I just love that.
Wouldn't be much of a plot.
Yeah. There's just a lot of really interesting character motivation that they just throw in there. But, yeah, just he's just snide. He's just, ugh, he doesn't really, even his roommate, Ed, like, he just doesn't really care for him that much, too, even though he'll just, like, play video games right. all the time. I love that.
Well, let's get into that. Ed is you know, kind of his best friend, and
but by default.
Yeah, but also, like, I think in many ways he is Sean's inability to grow because he doesn't have a job. He, like, deals weed every so often.
Yeah.
But, like, he's out. Like, he doesn't even have any right now. And, like, you know, he's just totally bumming off of him. I feel like sort of symbolic of, like, his ball and chain.
Mm.
Can't move forward with this friend who just wants to play video games. Even when Liz breaks up with him, he, like, wants to go out and just forget about it. He's like, oh, just, you know, forget her. Like, we're going to go drink at the Winchester. We're going to go, like, go do exactly what I want, which is to keep you in this same safe place.
Yeah.
Which is, like, that's Ed's character.
Yeah, and it's funny to see his motivation change too, just from, like, a, you know, wanting to stay alive standpoint. I love the scene where, like, they, you know, they realize, where they first realize that, oh, there's a zombie in their backyard, and Ed's like, what's up, Mary? You drunk? Are you drunk, Mary?
She has a name tag on.
She has a name tag on, and they're, like, staring
at
her.
Well, wait, let's break down that scene, because it truly is really done very well. Sean has just come back from the store, which you, the viewer, are seeing all these zombies, like just coming so close.
And he just doesn't even see it.
He doesn't even see it. He gets home, and he sits on the couch, and there's something different. Ed is not on the couch with him, and he's like, what? And he looks up, and Ed is staring out the window, and he goes, there's a girl in the garden. And he's like, what? And he's like, there's a girl in the garden. And then snap cut to them standing,
just like
looking
staring at
this at
her,
girl,
like 6 feet away.
And this girl is not facing them. She's just kind of swaying.
You see her back.
And they're just like, what? Hey,
get out of here. What are you doing?
What are you? And they like throw a rock and it hits her back. And they're like, what? What's going on? And then it's like, so such a good use of sound. That was my favorite part. All of his sound effects.
Dead silent.
Super dramatic turn. You're thinking, like, zombie movie, this is going to be, like, the big dramatic reveal where they realize this is a zombie film and they're going to die. But it's just, she turns around real slow and she just has this, like, dead-looking face because, well, she's a zombie. And they look at each other and they're like, and they look back and they go, she's drunk.
Oh my god, she's drunk. And
like, just like, don't even realize that they're looking at a zombie.
Yeah, and it's like quiet, and you just hear out of nowhere, there's this disposable camera that.
No, wait, that's not yet.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's so good. So she comes in, and like, she's obviously trying to eat them.
Oh, right.
And but they still think she's drunk, and like, she tackles Simon Pegg, and he's like, oh no, she's having her way with me, no. And then he's like, he says his little famous line, 2 seconds, and he walks out and then goes, gets a camera and like takes pictures, like, oh my gosh, this drunk girl is trying to like,
yeah,
sleep with my friend or whatever. and then like, okay, that's enough, like, get away. And then she comes at him again because she's a zombie, and he goes, no, seriously, get away. And he pushes her.
Oh yeah.
And she falls
yeah.
backwards on like a tether ball,
or like an umbrella stand.
Yeah,
thing,
an umbrella stand
broken.
That doesn't have an umbrella in it.
Yeah.
And so she just gets straight hole punched,
skewered
straight through her stomach, and they go, like, we just killed a girl.
Yeah.
Like, but they don't did. Like cry or call 911. They just stand there,
and she stands up,
and then all of a sudden, slowly, she stands up, and they realize, holy crap, like, this is, she's dead. She has a hole in her, and she's standing up, and she's fine. And then she starts slowly walking. He cuts back to Ed, and he's got the camera, and he's like, and he smacks it out of his hand.
The camera. Oh,
like,
my
why would
gosh.
You take a picture in that moment?
But it's like, and that's such the perfect noise. Like, when has that ever been the punchline of the joke? Is
right.
like the little camera, like, winding up to take a picture.
But that's why, I mean, so this is something we haven't talked about yet. It's Edgar Wright. Who directed this, right?
Oh, yeah.
And his style is just drenched mm-hmm. in this film. And I think that is what Edgar Wright brings to this movie, is the use of sound effects and transitions and, like, the visual aspect of the movie to make jokes, which I think is something that's hugely lacking in American cinema right now. But, yeah, he uses what you're watching. Like, if you're listening, if somebody else is watching Netflix and they're watching Anchorman, you're laughing because
right.
you can hear all the quotes, you can hear all the lines.
Yes.
It's not as funny because you don't see him chugging the milk in the glass, a case of emotion.
Right.
But you're still hearing that and you're laughing.
Right.
But if you hear someone watching Shaun of the Dead, you're like, why are you laughing so much?
Mm.
Because you're not seeing him actually wind up the camera. You're not seeing, like, the hole punch in the lady and, like, the perfect shot where you can see Shaun's face through her,
right.
like, stomach. It's so good.
It like we talked about it already, it does not rely on the actors delivering perfect lines every single time they say
right.
a word. It relies on the way the camera points you to look at something. It relies on the music. It relies on the timing,
mm-hmm.
the sequences, transitions.
Yeah, even if they do get a good line from the actor, they cut to the next scene, like, seconds after it, so you're laughing through this transition, and then you watch it again a second time and you realize the transition was funny.
Right.
Like, It's
a endless well of funny things that you could just realize over and over again. And I think one of the things that like really encapsulates how great of a job Edgar Wright does displaying this is in the scene where Simon Pegg's on the couch. And Sean, he's watching the TV.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so he's good. Flipping through the channels, right? And it's like in sequence. Like it'll be a news anchor. Today there's been a, and then it's like cuts to a soccer game. Oh, huge breakout. Downey on the field. Like,
yeah.
Like different things. And like
he's flipping through channels. Yeah. But what he's flipping through ends up saying this perfect sentence of what's taking place outside
right.
in the real world.
And he's just completely oblivious.
And the, yeah, it's so good. There's multiple moments in the beginning of the film where you can see Simon Pegg's character processing and then whoo, something takes his attention yeah. away. And then he's processing and then whoo, something like, I don't know what cuts right after that, but like he keeps cutting and he's like, he's hearing what the barrage of, you know, different channels he's watching is telling him. And then all of a sudden somebody comes in the room.
Yeah. He's like just about to realize what's going on. And they'll do like a little zoom into his eyes and some noise or yeah. misdirection kind of catches the viewer and Simon Pegg like off guard
exactly.
And then goes into the next thing. But yeah, his, the use of foreshadowing in this movie is comedic. It's so
yeah.
funny
yeah.
in the way like you, I mean, for crying out loud, it's called Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole preface to the film is like, this is a movie about zombies, just like Dawn of the
yeah.
Dead or whatever.
So good.
And the first, I gotta say maybe 30, 45 minutes, the main characters don't even know what kind of movie they're in.
Exactly.
They think they're in a boring old, like, oh, just go to my job,
yeah.
no big deal.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Fresh in your Brexit. That's Mrs. Featherbottom from
yes.
Arrested Development.
Yes.
Who'd like another banger in the mouth? I forgot we're in the colonies.
The colonies. Okay, but we got way distracted. We were talking about the characters. We were talking about Ed. And I think that scene that we
oh,
were
wow.
describing, it is a massive turning point for him because now these video games have become real life. He has been sitting on the couch, but now this is real life. These zombies are out there. So now this is his moment of calling to action. His character loves it. Sean is terrified. His character loves it. He wants to drive everyone's car. He wants to smash zombies with the car.
Yeah.
He wants to throw records and cut off zombies' heads.
Which like, is one of the best sequences ever when they first try to like kill Mary, right?
Yeah.
No.
So then another
yeah, yeah.
guy comes in their backyard and they realize throwing things at their head can be effective. So then they go around and go out back and they're like going to throw all the records at him. And it turns into this really tense moment because you have this impending doom, which is the two zombies slowly sauntering towards them. And they're having this back and forth about which yeah. records to throw.
Purple Rain? No. Dire Straits?
And oh, I
like,
missed.
They're missing. Every
yeah.
single shot they throw is just going right past the zombie's head. Just shattering and the wall behind them. They're
like
five feet
this
away.
This is the last time to have a conversation about which ones to throw or not. Like he keeps going, oh wait, but that was my first album I ever bought. Oh, so good.
Yeah, and I mean, those are the two big characters.
Yeah, for sure.
And other than that, you got Liz, the girlfriend, her boring-ass friends, David and Diane. And David's the worst. Diane's just kind of like, okay. David's a wet sandwich. We don't talk about him much. His mom.
Kill the queen!
And then his stepdad, Bill Nye.
Oh, so good.
Who is not Bill Nye the science guy, Bill Nye the British guy.
You're right.
Bill Nye, the British guy.
There should definitely be. You're right, because they can't read and see that Nye is not spelled the same.
Hey, kids. I'm Bill Nye. Not the science
guy.
I'm a British guy.
That's
no science here. No, it's just like a British guy.
You sound like a British Barney or something. But anyway, yes, Bill Nye, which if I'm not wrong, and I never am, yeah, he's in all three. Of those trilogies.
He's also in Pirates of the Caribbean.
At World's End.
Sea turtles, mate.
Fraction your Brexit, mate.
Fraction your Brexit, mate. Give me a sea turtle, I'll take this country all the way around the world.
Okay, it got weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
But it's so good. Like, I feel like the one thing I definitely forgot about this movie is that Simon Pegg, or at least his character, but, you know, Simon Pegg acting, like, he goes through a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, he's put through quite a day. He kills, well, he doesn't kill, but he like, hears from his stepdad that, like, his stepdad loves him, and he, like, gets this big, like, well of emotion in the car, which, that car scene is also so classic. Like, the use of, you know, normally, like, if a movie scene is crazy, you match it with crazy music, and
right.
you don't really explain it. It's just crazy music is happening, you know? But in this, they strategically use the stereo player as those crazy moments. So whenever, you know, Ed, Sean's best friend, you know, he's jumped into action. He's taken this so seriously. So he's feeling like this is a real video game in real life. And he, you know, turns on this, like, super punk rock music, and he's knocking people over or whatever. And then all of a sudden they pause the music. They're having this conversation, and it's a conversation. And all of a sudden something happens, and, like, somebody accidentally hits the CD player, and it jumps right back into it. It's so good. So brilliant.
Yeah. And so he has all these emotions in that day, and it's just a real whirlbird breakup. Father loves him.
Yeah.
Has to kill people.
He says, like, shoot his own mom in the face.
As a zombie.
Wow.
I mean, it's still...
Still his mom.
They do that stuff in The Walking Dead all the time. It's not nearly as funny.
Well, it's not funny. It's sad.
I don't know.
That's the other podcast we have.
Yeah.
Why am I crying?
Or avoiding sadness. He's like, not that sad, because, like, I could shoot my mom, like, any day. Like, wouldn't be sad. Like, I'd get it. Like, I had to do it. Like, not a big deal. No tears here.
But anyway, what I was trying to say is that Simon Pegg does a good job.
Yeah.
It's a more emotional performance than I thought. I was like, oh, yeah, it's just a dumb little flick.
Yeah, especially, I mean, when you can think about his characters in Hot Fuzz and World's End.
Right, very serious.
Yeah, well, they're just, I don't think there's that much emotion for that character.
Yeah. Not a range.
Yeah, but anyways, so yeah, Bill Nye, the British guy, great stepdad.
So we've sort of talked a little bit, about style, but let's get into it a little bit more. The use of foreshadowing, you know, the first act of this movie is huge. One of my favorite things is the comparison shot. I wish there, like, somebody could do this, of the first trip that he does.
Yes, I was about to say that.
Yeah. So the first trip he does to his local little market or
just
whatever,
a block away. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the second time around.
Yes.
Where it's
pre-zombie apocalypse and then, post.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's everything is so similar each time, and Simon Pegg or Sean is both times on autopilot. And so obviously you're going to miss this stuff because the same stuff is happening.
Yeah.
Even though one time they're humans and one time they're all zombies, which is just, like, so funny to me.
It's an identical scene and it's so brilliant. And yeah. So you're watching it and you're like, oh my gosh, like, you've seen this before, but now you're like, he's just not even seeing these zombies. And he goes into the store too, and there's a zombie in the store.
Yes.
He just doesn't even
Which
see it.
Which is, like, do you realize that they're saying, like, if you're living life on autopilot, you're basically dead?
Yes.
Because, I have no idea what life
is like.
You're
better off dead, yeah.
In London, but it seems pretty boring.
That's why they got a lot of pubs around there, man.
But I just love that. That's so brilliant. And, like, we talked about that TV scene, and there's so many others where he's looking at something and it's about to come to an end distracted.
And so, yeah, along the same lines of style, we know this is the, like, thriller comedy genre, right? Uh-huh. It spoofs a lot of these thrillers. Think of all the films or, like, horror movies where they do, like, the little silence. And then it just scares you, right? A cheap gimmick that a lot of horror films do nowadays. Sure. But they'll do that where it's like Sean's, like, you know, like we said earlier,
processing.
And then it's like, ring! Yeah. Like the phone rings, he's like, and it, like, it makes you jump because you're like, and you know, you're trained now, like, okay, like, sometimes things in movies will be silent and you know there's a scary part that's gonna happen, and they'll play off that. There's so many different things that are actually jokes, that they're actually like funny things, or like a phone ring, like I said. But I just think it's so brilliant to spoof, like, the, hey, this isn't something scary, it's just a joke, mate.
Yeah. And I feel like every single one of them is just strategic. There's one where he's looking at somebody who's fallen in the park, and it looks like somebody's like attacking him. And then all of a sudden, boom, he gets distracted because he was walking and he runs into his friend. And then what, like midway through the movie, same friend runs into him with the like identical pack of friends.
Yep.
Which I think Martin Sheen. No.
Chris Martin.
Not Chris Martin.
No, sorry.
Chris Martin's in the movie. But
Martin Sheen's in it.
Not Martin Sheen.
No, Martin Short.
Martin Short is not Martin Short.
Well, this is killing me.
Martin.
I know his name.
Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, God. I can think of it right now.
Martin Van Buren. IMDb,
come to me.
Martin
Freeman.
Martin Freeman.
Ah, Freeman's Collective.
Ugh. He's in it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's in it.
So good. Oh.
So, he's there. I don't even know why that's... Oh, they run a lot of work. They run into the crew and then run into him later. They actually end up saving them.
But, yeah, then, again, like, so good. They use that at the end of the movie and they get saved by that. It's like, nothing is wasted. Like we said, nothing is wasted in this movie.
Yeah, and I think you talked briefly about the "Don't Stop Me Now" scene in the pub, just to point out their beautiful use of music throughout this film. So the jukebox, you know, gets bumped,
right,
and then "Don't Stop Me Now" comes on. And it's really loud, and all the zombies can hear now. And they're like around the pub, they're trying to get in, and they're like beating the owner of the pub zombie like in unison with the like of the song, and they're yelling like, "Turn off the jukebox,
kill the queen,
kill the queen, change the song, it's on random,"
which was a callback. They're like
master callbackers.
I don't even think it's considered callbacks because they do it intentionally to use it later intentionally.
It's like, still a callback.
Yeah, I know it is, but I'm just saying
it's that they're just so good.
They've thought about it. Yeah.
Obviously, they intentionally place all their callbacks. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, this movie is like got callbacks in every scene.
Yeah,
every
character has a line that they revisit in times of non-stress, times of stress, and then like kind of a final realization. So good.
Yes.
I really, really appreciate the way that Edgar Wright uses kind of the cutaway gag, like not necessarily like the Family Guy cutaway, but more like is it considered the use of negative space? What I'm trying to say is he uses things that are off screen, off like the shot that you're actually seeing. Mm. And that I feel like adds so much more to the movie.
Right.
Instead of, two people are having a conversation and you know that there's this third person sitting in the room, instead of them having a conversation and then when this third person interrupts, you show a shot of it.
Right.
You just stay on those two people. So you're watching one direction, but you're hearing this other person butt in. Yeah. And it adds so much. Like, I just feel like those jokes are funnier
with Liz and Sean talking. Yeah, yeah. You got Ed in the video
and
game
he's
in the background,
like finishing the sentences perfectly. Yeah. And then again at the end when he's dying and they're in the like basement of the pub, and like he just like is making wisecracks, and it's so much more funny because you don't see him, but like he's in the context in your mind that he's just off camera.
Which, by the way, shouldn't they have just hid in the basement sewer to begin with? Like, if they knew that was down there, couldn't they have just gone there and, like, hid there and there's no way anyone could have gotten them?
Yeah. I mean, you could pick apart this plot pretty easily.
I guess. I mean,
because, like, the friggin' idiot wet sandwich kid, like, he stands everything. Next to the window and he's like, "Loud noises," and then gets jumped out.
"Freshen your Brexit." Ooh. Yeah, he's just terrible.
But he gets such a good death.
He does.
He gets ripped apart.
Yeah, like Walking Dead style.
That was the only part where my wife was like, "How can you laugh?"
I laugh during The Walking Dead.
Oh, it's not a comedy.
Sometimes they do that with like your favorite character who you love for like six seasons, and you see him just get ripped to shreds for like 6 minutes, like in slow mo. And then it's like, oh my gosh, how many bottles of ketchup do they have to go through to spraying blood out of their eye sockets? And that's the thing. They use such a great use of gore. Yeah. Like, perfectly placed. It's not too much, not too crazy. But, like, I mean, Edgar Wright's also direct, like, grindhouse kind of, like, you know, kind of movies. So to have this violence, zombie violence, blood splatter, it's so great. I think it's hilarious. I think, I mean, like you said, you were laughing when David died. They've made this character that we hate get ripped to shreds, right, and we're laughing at it because of how ridiculous it looks, one, and thank and God he's dead.
Yeah, it's justice to the audience because this guy's been a friggin' wet sandwich.
Yeah, he's been slowing the movie down. We want to see them kick some ass and go home.
Do we have anything more on this fantastic flick?
Would view again. Just talking about it gets me excited.
For more Edgar Wright. More like Edgar not wrong.
Whoa, more like Edgar always right.
Oh! Hey. Well, that's the end of that part of our podcast, and you know what comes next, RJ.
I would say if we were going to talk any more about this movie...
Incorrect. It's time for Ben's Wacky Facts. This is the part of the show where I say some wacky facts and RJ aptly rates them on a baseball field. Are you ready for this show rage?
Are you ready for this?
Zombie a dish?
No.
Come on.
I mean, maybe there's zombies.
Theme it out.
Okay, here we go. Every week.
No, you're good. You do a good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, here we go. I almost said episode number one. Fact number one.
Dun, dun, dun.
In the movie, Sean tells Liz that he's going to take her to, quote, the place that does all the fish. And then there's a very, very, very fast cutscene where Sean is frantically looking to take her to a new restaurant. He opens the phone book and points, and it zooms in for a millisecond. Well, if you pause that millisecond, you can see in the phone book the place that he's pointing to. The name of the restaurant is literally called The Place That Does All the Fish. How good is that?
That's really good.
The comedy's in the details.
Absolutely. Wow. Comedy in the details. Great wacky fact. And again, like you said before, just got to dig for him. There's a well of funniness in this movie, as long as you're ready to pause at a moment's notice.
For sure.
This is very wacky. You got Simon Pegg up to bat, and the pitcher... Fonz is ready. Henry Winkler, you know, famous baseball player.
Zombie Fonz?
No, just regular
Fonz. Okay, Reggie Fonz.
So he goes to throws the ball, and Simon hits it. It's going, and it's looking like it's going to go straight. Line drive down the third baseman. Third baseman holds out his hand, and the ball goes through his hand and through his head and rolls all the way out, and he goes running around the bases and great home run kind of thing. In the park home run, because the third baseman was a zombie. Because
he was dead the whole time.
Oh, wow, 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 wacky.
Okay, here's wacky fact number two. When asked by an interviewer why they chose to have slow-moving zombies instead of fast, uppity, running zombies...
World War Z zombies.
Ooh, those are the worst. Simon Pegg simply replied, because death is not an energy drink.
Ooh, more like World War Z's. Didn't know what I mean. That's good. I love
right?
that.
Right? Isn't that smart? I think that's just...
It's like, so true. I mean, yeah. And again, like they were doing a big nod to Romero's film.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the slowest zombies in the world.
But I mean, so I think both have, you know, valid scariness to them.
Sure.
You know, fast-paced zombies is terrifying, right? But also the slow, like impending doom zombies just as equally as terrifying, I would argue.
Yeah, I mean, there's something scarier, I think, about a slow death.
Yeah,
right?
No, that's
if
not
you,
good.
I mean, you know, if you, someone said, I'm going to shoot you in the head, or I'm going to have a zombie that moves about, like, you know, 5 miles per hour, just kind of, like, rip you to shreds, like, I wouldn't be into that. It kind of sucks.
Not today.
Is 5 miles per hour fast for a human?
No.
Is that fast?
No.
Okay. How fast am I moving right now?
Yeah, you're good. Whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Is that like 2, 3?
Whoa.
10 miles per hour?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
I'll get my Snapchat filter out and like wave my hand around. I have no idea.
Cool.
Anyway, someone can email us and tell us how speed works. Physics. That'd be great. That's pretty wacky. That's Brad Pitt up to bat with his World War Z hair. And the pitcher, also the Fonz, back again trying to get his redemption.
Reggie Fonz?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reggie Winkler. He throws the ball, and Brad Pitt swings, and it's going. It's going. But then the zombie horde from World War Z comes out of the stands. Oh, wait. Yes.
Over the stands.
Over the stands. Oh, gosh. And onto the field, and climbs up the wall, and goes to catch the ball, and they catch it.
He's out?
He's out. But wait, what's this? Oh, the referee. He's got his hand up. He's waving the yellow flag. What does it mean?
There is no
too many men on the field. Automatic double.
Home run. Double.
Double.
Automatic double.
Wasn't that wacky?
Thanks. No, you're right. here we go. Here's wacky fact number 3. And this one's pretty wacky. Ed.
Whoa.
Stumble.
Stop there. I cannot take any more.
Nick Frost, who plays Ed, allegedly kept his genitals shaved throughout the entire production to create that genuine need to scratch that the character demanded.
I can honestly, I don't even notice that he's scratching his nuts at all. No way. That's a commitment. That's method acting unnecessarily. Like, I get, like, if you're like, oh yeah, my character has a nervous tic, so like I have like this little like Bluetooth speaker that like clicks in my ear every 20 seconds. But if you just want to scratch your balls, like, you need to tell us. Like, you could just pretend to do it. Like, just remember, like, it's not that crazy. Oh, this is a comedy movie, Nick.
Yeah.
I'm a committed character. I'm sorry for anyone who's listening who's actually from England who takes great offense to my Cockney accents. But
I don't think they take offense. I think they just think we're
terrible impressionists.
Dumb Americans.
Yeah. You dumb Americans and your stupid accents. Anyways, enough of that stuff. That's pretty wacky. That's Sean Penn up to bat. In quotations, famous method actor. Sean Penn up to bat, and Nick Frost at the mound, subbing in for old Fonz. Fonz has had enough.
He's threw got his
the,
arm out.
He's got the ball. He's ready to throw it. Goes in for one sweet itch of the crotch with ball, just to put a little stank on it. Hucks it down the mound line, and then Sean Penn's like, too bad I've been preparing baseball my entire life for this character that I'm working on now. Hits it, and it goes right through Nick Frost's head.
What?
And it's an automatic home run if it goes through someone's head.
He was a zombie?
No, he was
just a dude. Oh, no.
He hit it that well.
Wow.
He's a normal human, just right through the head.
The power of method acting.
The power of method acting, indeed.
Okay, that's all the wacky facts we have for this week.
Stanislavski would be proud.
That means it's time for hashtag whale mail of the week.
Sweet. This whale mail reads, hello, boys. As a Orange native and Orange High alumni, I am offended that you claimed Old Town Orange as your own in your recent episode on Amy Poehler. You were both born and raised in Tustin. That is all. Oh, P.S. It's called the Plaza, not the Circle.
In quotation marks.
Molly. Wow. So I think this is a classic case of spam mail. And Ben, I don't know if you know how you can tell if it's spam mail, because spam does a poor job with typos and pronunciation. So like right off the bat, as a Orange native, it's an Orange native. You obviously it's just a robot that's just trying to, you know,
definitely
send random viruses to us. we shouldn't have opened it, but now we have to send our computers back in for repair again.
The IT company is just making so much money off of us.
I know. So please continue donating to our podcast. It's just going straight to the guys down at Ace Hardware.
The new king of Africa.
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Zimbabwe.
That's right. The queen of Syria?
Yeah.
The queen of Syria, she gave us a loan.
Muammar Gaddafi's little sister.
No, daughter.
Daughter.
Muammar Gaddafi, the deceased Muammar Gaddafi. His daughter is giving us currently, we're waiting to hear back from our lawyers, 800 million rupees or treasure dollars. I can't remember.
Roughly, you know, equals about.
We'll double check on that one. But yeah.
I think this is more of the same of that.
It is very similar because it's like, how can you take that seriously? It's like, obviously we're not like trying to say one thing or another. Like, but yes, we'll take $800 million.
I don't even remember claiming Orange is my own. I'm born and raised in T-Town.
I mean, yeah, I have no problem with that. Orange County. If anyone is wondering, like, Orange County, like, what does that even look like? Just picture, like, a giant city. Like, it's all very close. I don't think anyone, if you're from, like, Villa Park, and they're like, oh, where are you from? And you're like, Orange County? They're not going to be like, no, you're not. Where specifically? Oh, you're from Huntington? Yeah, nice try, a-hole.
And P.S., it's called the Plaza. My butt. No, it's not.
It's a
circle. Dang it.
It's a circle for a reason.
Ya burnt.
Ever heard of shapes? Ya burnt. Google Maps that crap right now.
Anyway, thank you, Molly. Ya burnt. For sending in this email.
No, but also, thank you. It's constructive criticism.
It really is.
I'm a... you know, open to that.
We appreciate it.
We always have taken criticism quite well here on the show. So, yeah, there's obviously nothing wrong with how we take criticism. We're never defensive.
But please, follow in Robot Molly's footsteps and send us any email about Orange or geographical
Amy Poehler, corrections. Bill Nye, the British guy.
The compelling stuff of geographical corrections.
Yeah.
But RJ, where can people find us if they want to give us a good listen?
If you want to listen to us, you can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. Also, we are on the Pod Tyrant Network, so go to podtyrant.com or geektyrant.com to hear more awesome podcasts about movies, TV shows, popular culture. I love Cinematic Sound Radio. They're playing all the good stuff from the Oscars. Screen Watchers Guild, they do review on Oscar wins, noms, all that jazz.
It's a good Pod Tyrant family to be a part of. Stuff for movie buffs. I'm a fan of Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
Give that a listen.
So yeah, check them out. Also, Ben, where can they find us on the social meds?
If they want to check out our social meds, you go to our Twitter page, straight at Whale Pod. We're on Facebook. Just Google search, Why Am I Laughing? Facebook a dish, or Facebook. But you can also email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. That'll go straight to our phones. We get Google alerts. It's the whole nine yards.
We're like our intern's phone. You got to pay them to read.
Even
the
if we're in traffic, I will read it and stop and get out of my car. It's very urgent that we get those emails read.
Yeah.
But if you are looking to follow RJ on the Twitterverse, you can follow him at Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you want to follow Ben on Twitter, you can follow him at Bill Nye the British Guy.
Thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate your ears. We got to thank Ben Sound for our theme music. Please, if you can tell your friends about the show, find a creative way to do that and do it.
Maybe a belated Valentine's letter. Roses are red, violets are blue. Here's a podcast. I'm thinking of you.
Why am I laughing?
Laughing doesn't rhyme with anything.
Timing. and if you're really, really amping up about this show, you can help us out a ton by rating us on iTunes. That just, like, dude, that's like money in our paycheck.
Yeah, we're looking at hypothetical money, as in like Syrian rupees money. But yeah, we're looking at potentially bringing back the old t-shirt contest back for those of you who are interested.
Oh,
but that Whale Pod puffy paint t-shirt,
puffy paint,
it's gonna look real good on you.
Please check back every Wednesday for a new episode. We call them Why Am I Laughing Wednesdays for a reason, because that content goes straight to your heart
on Wednesday
or iPhone.
Yeah.
But yes, so we would like to leave you with the old adage that was passed down to us from generation to generation, from podcast to podcast, and it goes a little something like this. Comedy is all about
Zootopia.
Spider tears.
Okay, bye.